Welcome, everybody. This is Jeff Peterson of the Interstate of Music podcast. And I have an overseas guest today, which is the beautiful part of doing a podcast and doing a little bit of Zoom here. And she is a guest and also part of the Interstate Music family in the sense that we actually are going to be carrying her line of violins, which is something kind of cool. I don't normally have a guest on our podcast that actually has their own line of violins. So let's bring her on here. Mairead Nesbitt, welcome. Welcome to the Interstate of Music podcast.
Hi, it's so great. Oh, thank you for having me. This is great fun.
I want to get to know you a little bit because I don't know you that well. And I want to kind of find out a little bit more about you and I guess kind of how you got to where you are today. But where are you from originally? Exactly where you're from?
Well, as you know, Jeff, I'm Irish, of course.
Yes.
I play Irish music and my goodness, there's the old phone going off for my alarm there. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But, you know, I come from a very, very musical family, and my mother and my father are both amazing musicians. They're amazing educators. We literally lived and, you know, breathed music. It was a way of life growing up. And I've got four brothers and a sister, and we all play. And when I get back to Ireland anytime I can, we all sit down and have a few tunes, you know. And yeah. Of course, the fiddle is the predominant instrument in our family. But we play lots of other instruments as well. But the fiddle is, it has a deep-rooted connection with us because both my grandmothers were great fiddle players as well. And, you know, so I guess I'm from a really musical family and I grew up playing music and I just absolutely love communicating with others through music.
I love that. And what part of Ireland are you actually from?
I'm from Tipperary. So it's the Midlands. It's a big, big county. You know, the song, It's a Long Way to Tipperary.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's got loads of old castles and horses. We're big into horses and lots of amazing music as well. And everyone is really friendly. And, you know, I think it's probably the weather in Ireland. We all play a lot of music because, you know, we play more indoors rather than outdoors because it rains a lot.
Absolutely.
But I'm from Tipperary and I love it so much. I get very homesick and I go home a lot.
So when you first started music, now I know you're saying, you know, the fiddle, violin, all of that, but were there other instruments that you started, you know, kind of your journey in learning music, or was it straight to the violin or fiddle?
You know what? My mother and my father are great believers in a foundation instrument. So I did classical music and Irish music growing up. It was rare at the time. My sister Frances also did it as well, because I don't know, there was a kind of a, at the time, there was a little bit of a snobby element between classical music and Irish music. Oh, it'll ruin your bow hold and it'll ruin this and ruin that. But actually, both disciplines are so complementary of each other. You know, the Irish music is handed down hourly, and right. The classical music from Beethoven onwards. I mean, everybody improvised their cadenzas, you know, coming up, you know, from Bach back, you know, and it was more improvised then. But now, of course, all the cadenzas are written down. So really they go by music, by written music, whereas Irish music goes by aural, the aural tradition handed down. And think about that, because there's tunes and ancient music, I mean, thousands of years old, handed down. And, you know, there was no way to record them. There was no smartphone. There was no this, no that.
There was no YouTube?
Yeah, no YouTube, nothing.
I can't imagine a world without YouTube.
Can you imagine? My father was actually telling me, you know, and he's on the younger crowd.
Right.
You know, he was saying that they'd have to go, you know, they were in someone's house playing a session, you know, into the hours of the morning, and they'd hear this amazing tune. And you'd have to go, okay, play it again. Okay, play it again, play it again. And, you know, they'd learn it. And then they'd go walk home thinking about it in their heads. Can you imagine all that music handed down like that?
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I've never thought about this before, but back then when music was being played in the homes with the families, kind of learning it and having those mini jam sessions that, you know, we call them a jam session now, but back then it was just people getting together and hanging out and doing it. So much music played, but so much music lost because there wasn't that way of recording. And it was the history of that music that you've been able to grab from your family history. I mean, it has to be so much more, more precious as far as things are going on nowadays. It's all about the recording. But when you've got a sense that this music that you've gotten from your family history and everything else kind of handed down, there's got to be so much more meaning to it.
You're so right. I mean, I think every time I go home and I sit down with my mother and father and I play a few tunes with them, my father will bring, and my mother, I mean, my God, they're encyclopedias of music, and they come up with this other tune, and not just a tune, a set of tunes. So it would be three reels, like three to 6 minutes. And those sets of tunes would have been played for thousands of years, handed down.
That's unbelievable.
Sets of tunes. And you're so right, so much has been lost. And there's a lot of collectors now, not now, but back in the time, like we have, Chief O'Neill's collection. He's Irish and he moved over to Chicago and he was the chief of police and he did the most amazing collection of music, of Irish music. But even the great collections of Chief O'Neill's, the Bunting collections, Petri, you know, my own mother's book, Fiddle. Let's say there's thousands of books out there.
Right.
They're literally scraping the surface of the tradition.
It's just great that's even there now, you know, and you know, like you said, your grandmother's book, Fiddle. What's that book about?
Yeah, it's my mother's book.
Your mother's book, okay.
And, you know, she's absolutely amazing. It's an amazing book. It's like a Bible to young teachers today. It's specifically for teachers and for students, but you know, every tune is curated, you know, beautiful tunes from, there's even a chapter on O'Carolan. There's a chapter on the modes in Irish music. There's obviously all the slow wares, the jigs, reels, slip jigs, single jigs, polkas, slides, so much riches there. But also, which is really, really great for people, is that it's bowed. It's all, the bowings are marked.
Yeah, wow.
Which is very rare in a traditional music book of any culture. You don't get the bowings marked. You'll get the music, some of the music, sure, but you'll never get the bowings marked. And that is the most amazing thing, because you're getting the beautiful Sligo style, Roscommon style of my mother's bowing, literally there for anyone to use and for their enjoyment, you know?
Wow. I mean, such a project to take under, but just the love of the fiddle to, again, pass that down. That's amazing. So when did you start to actually feel as though this is what you were going to do and be? And if you weren't a professional musician, what do you think you would have been? What do you think you'd be doing if it wasn't music? What do you think you'd do? Where were your other interests?
Well, you know, growing up when I was a late starter, I was 6 years of age on the fiddle. Yeah. And I played piano at four. And actually, going back to your foundation instrument question, in classical music,
piano.
It's the piano. All played the piano. And then in Irish music, it's the tin whistle. So if you're able to play your reels and everything on the tin whistle, you have it in your ear and you can move on to an instrument, especially if you're small. I was really small, tiny, teeny, weeny thing.
So wait a second. So legitimately the tin whistle, as simple as you might think that is as an instrument, that really does have kind of a crossover as far as the finger positions or just the tone of it. Like, what is it that carries through?
What carries through are the melodies and also the ornamentation. So I wonder, have I my whistle handy? If I see it, I'll grab it.
Fantastic.
Not
every podcast do I see somebody grab a tin whistle and
oh, I have it here. This is a beautiful tin whistle.
What?
Yeah. Awesome. So this tin whistle is tunable, which is really fantastic. So let's say an ornament, let's say a roll. So you know, so you right. have your rolls. You probably heard the ornamentation there.
Yeah.
And so that would carry through over to the fiddle. So you know what a roll is, for instance.
Gotcha.
Like it would be a complicated ornament in classical music, but it's in traditional music that you can carry over. So a few years of playing the tin whistle and you're kind of ready to kind of, you know, get another instrument under your belt and enjoy that. And that was your foundation question. Sorry, I deviated from that. And
no, that's fine.
Something else. But
that's amazing. And so when you started to, you know, kind of move through and you started to learn the fiddle and violin, et cetera, did you know that this was what you were going to do professionally? I mean, I mean, at a younger age, there's so much about like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? Was it always that's what you were going to do? Or was it like, oh, I think maybe I'll, you know, get into accounting. Was there something else that you thought you were going to be?
I know. It's not an easy profession. And
no.
I remember, when I was six, looking at my mother, I was looking up at my mother and she was playing the most amazing music, and my father as well. And I just said to myself, I want to do that. I want to be able to communicate with her and him through music. I just want to be able to, I want to be on that wavelength. I wasn't on that wavelength for years and years and years. It takes a long time. And then I was in school, it would be kind of like high school here. Myself and my sister led the orchestras. Like I would lead the junior orchestra and she led the, she was the first violinist of the symphony, the senior orchestra. And we both accompanied all the choirs on piano. So we were pretty busy, as you can imagine.
Sure, yeah.
So I think when I was in, so my second last year of high school, I was, up till then, I really loved English and law, actually.
Okay.
I loved law. I loved the idea of, we had a good friend of the family, Sean Galler, and he was a great a barrister, actually. And I just found it fascinating, the books, you know, all these books, you know, oh, wow, look at all these books. It's like, you know, going into a scene of Harry Potter or something in Trinity College, you know. I just thought that was so amazing,
right.
You know, the look of it or something. I don't know what drew
well it's, it seems like you always have had this education matters, this searching yeah. for knowledge, the history. You seemed very mature in the way you looked at things from a very young age, so it kind of yeah. makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, when I was in my second last year in high school, I thought, you know, yeah, I see, you know, I had done all the exams on the classical violin and traditional, and you know, I had started to make my own style, kind of thing, you know, just to,
sure.
to create my own style and my own niche. And I just thought, you know, maybe I should do music.
Sure.
Maybe that's a thing, right? In college. So you call it school here, but
sure.
we call it college, you know,
yeah.
so Trinity College, or you know, like Harvard is a college, like
right.
you know, you say school here, school to us is high school, and
right.
then college is the next level
sure.
up.
Yep.
And yeah, so that's when, just when I was doing my leaving cert, I decided to either do law or music, you know, so I ended up doing music in the end. And, you know, it's brought me all over the world. And, you know, it's a precarious profession, there is absolutely no doubt about it, you know, it really
right.
is. And you know, my parents are very practical and they're saying, are you sure? We don't think you should. I don't know about that, you know. But you know, it just was something I loved passionately, and that's why I did my education in that in Cork first in Ireland, Trinity College, London, and then the Royal Academy as well in London. So,
and how many different groups did you play with along the way, as far as before you kind of started to create your own branding, you know, where it was, where you became more of the soloist side of things? Was that, you know, how tough was it to kind of elevate yourself to get up into a point where you were, you know, Mairead Nesbitt that everybody knows, and you were more of a soloist?
Yeah, you know, I never thought of it like that. Isn't that weird? I was in the concert orchestra in so it's our radio orchestra in Ireland. I was in the concert orchestra depping with them when I was 16. And then I then went on to be a full-time player with the concert orchestra for 6 years. And during that time, I learned the discipline of the immense discipline of being a part of a very well-oiled machine.
Right.
You don't create any bumps in any phrases. You don't, you really, my sight reading improved about 1,000% because sight reading wouldn't have been my forte, but it was when I was in there, because it was like speaking another language. And,
is it fair to say when you're playing with a large group like that, because it dominoes so much into so many other players, it's very scripted. It's very, this, you hit this note this time, this, because that's all part of it. Is that more what you're talking about? The preciseness of it.
Yeah, it's extremely precise, extremely disciplined. But again, that was so good for me. I feel honored that I was part of that orchestra for 6 years. And then I decided to move on. I decided, okay, I can stay here for the rest of my life, or I can branch out a little bit. And the first gig, I think, that I started to really kind of get into my own, you know, my style, and and with this amazing singer, Jimmy McCarthy, in the Olympia Theatre, the iconic theatre in Dublin. And he gave me a shot, and he was very funny. He said, yeah, you know, you can support me if you sing a song. I said, I don't sing. And then, and I did a little bit, you know, I had sang in competitions and sang for myself in Irish, in the Gaelic language, right?
Really? Okay.
And so I did sing one song in the set list. And so that was really such a great night. And my mother came to it, and it was, and some of the concert orchestra came, and it was such fun. And then fast forward a few years, then of course, Lord of the Dance with Michael Flatley. That was a big, big thing for me, because I was very young. Very, very young. And we went literally toured the world.
And how long did you actually tour? How long were you on that tour?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was crazy. I mean, I remember one tour being a year long.
Yeah,
One tour, a whole year. I didn't go home for a year. And it was amazing because, you know, Michael being the dancer that he is, we were in a different city like for a whole week. You know, it wouldn't be back to backs like we did with Celtic Woman or with other tours, like a rock and roll schedule. It was a whole week in one place, and then you'd travel, go into the hotel, whole week in another place. So it was
That tour was selling out everywhere. I mean, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It was amazing. It was the hottest thing going.
Yeah, it was the highest, I think, apparently the highest grossing tour of all time.
Yeah, it was, it's insane. It was fantastic.
It was great. It was great. It was so exciting. It was exciting for the audiences, exciting for the people on stage. Then fast forward again to Feet of Flames, fast forward again to people like Van Morrison, Sinead O'Connor, different people I've played with. And
I'm literally getting like goosebumps just hearing that, because I mean, you've gone through and had so many unique experiences that so many musicians just will never get, no matter how good they are. It seems like your skills, your passion, and honestly, I guess the violin and fiddle, that crossover that musicians, you know, for decades have been like loving that crossover sound. And to be able to cross it over, I mean, and be the person that everybody's paying attention to bring into those mixes, that has got to be so amazing.
you know, it was, I am honored that I happened to be that person, because an awful lot of people then saw me as little girls or boys kind of, and started crossing over in these big shows. And, you know, it was the most amazing feeling to, of course, I move a lot when I play as well.
And I've seen some pictures with your hair just all over the place. I love that. I'm like, oh, she's doing this. I mean, that's not just a whole bunch of, you know, 1980s hairspray teasing. That hair is flying.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, everyone, people used to come up to me and say, and it's so funny, you know, I used to come up to me in some of the shows and say, your hair was amazing. And I'd say, so, well, what about the playing? Wasn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
And I go, yeah, your hair is a life of its own. Yeah, and the fiddle.
Right. It's right. Remember that fiddle? Yeah. That's awesome. And so what are some of the things that you crossed over into? Like, do you have like a moment where you were on stage with somebody or at in a different concert setting that you just kind of looked around and said, this is like, how did this happen?
You know, I always had a love for rock music and, you know, Ireland, you know, for such a small country, as well as all the amazing traditional and classical acts that they have and artists.
Right.
They have the most amazing pot of rock and pop and, you know a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Thin Lizzy, Van Morrison, U2, the Cranberries. So many, just the list is endless, you know, fillings and with Thin Lizzy and stuff. And, you know, I always had quite a healthy, regard for rock music, and my parents were quite, broad in their music, appreciation, you know, and, world music was a big thing with us as well. Ethnic music, you know, from different countries.
Yep.
And, I absolutely adore Indian music and Pakistani music, and just the mode and the you know. And you know, I think fast forward to my Celtic Woman days, and even before that, I played on Tinkerbell, you know, Tinkerbell.
Yep.
Disney's yep, Tinkerbell, absolutely. With yep. The first two movies, and that was very, very amazing for me, because here was this little, you know, I don't know, little fiery little fairy, and she was a tomboy, and she was bold, but she tried to do good, you know, she tried to, and it reminded me a lot when I was growing up of myself.
Yep.
It's very kind of naughty, but good heart, you know, and, yep. And, you know, then Celtic Woman. You know, it was, I toured with Celtic Woman for more than 10 years. They're still going. The girls are different,
sure,
obviously
right.
Different cast. And, I think the main thing for me, with, you know, Disney coined my playing style as, Celtic violinist, you know?
Yep.
So I stuck to that, and that's my social handle. It's Mairead Nesbitt, Celtic violinist, you know, on most things. And I felt they hit the nail on the head, because, you know, you're playing fast reels, and but you're playing these beautiful soaring melodies that go up in positions,
right.
And whatever, so it's the best of both worlds, you know.
I absolutely love that. So what's on your agenda? What have you been doing recently that what do you do outside of music? I mean, what's new and exciting, yeah, outside of music?
Well, outside of music, what's coming up now, actually, and it's still music, there's a new show with Disney called Harmonious, and that's coming out October 1st, and I do this fiery duet with Lindsay Stirling. And,
so cool.
So that's really exciting. That's the premiere of that is down in Disney October 1st, so I get to go to that pretty soon. And so that's really going to be amazing. And then outside of jewellery... outside of music is my jewelry. Sorry, outside of jewelry is my music. Both are quite hand in
right,
hand.
Right, absolutely. So because, what do you have for jewelry? What's up with that?
Exactly. I mean, I do shows, and I have my collections on JTV, which is jewelry television, and that they have their massive YouTube channels and their Facebook, JTV and JTV Live, and their Instagram, of course. And I just finished two shows with them and a sold out concert down there as well for everybody, JTV. And what I wanted to do, especially as you know, during the time of COVID, there was a 2 years of nothing, of no music anywhere. And, you know, luckily a year before that, I had started designing jewelry with JTV, and every single piece has its story. And I feel in music and in anything you do, for instance, jewelry, you have to be genuine. You have to, you know, delve into yourself, your lore, your stories, your culture, and really bring it out to people and take them on a journey, you know?
Yes.
And that's what I've tried to do with my jewelry line, and each piece has a story. And so that's what I'm doing at the moment. I just came back from their amazing studios in Tennessee, would you believe? And, you know, it was incredible just to see their studios and to do the shows there. And they're up online, actually. They're still up. They're up on Facebook Live, on JTV Live, and jtv.com. My whole lines are there.
That's awesome.
All the different collections. And they make great gifts for people, especially people who love music. There's subtle musical nods in each piece as well.
That's fantastic. And now I know you've got a new line of violins that are going to be coming out. Tell me a little bit about that.
I know. I'm so excited.
So are we.
Oh my goodness. I am so excited to be in Interstate Music. Oh
yes.
My goodness. With my violin line. And this is a huge passion project for me, because when I was growing up, I didn't actually have my own fiddle, my own violin. What I used to do for pocket money was warm up, or break in, as you would say here, but warm up the sound by playing violins for this man called Tommy Robinson. He was a violin dealer. And, you know, these violins like Amati's and beautiful ancient violins would be there. He'd bring them to me, come down to Tipperary from the north of Ireland, and stay with my parents, and he'd give me a violin, and he'd say, okay, Mairead, play that for 2 months. And I go, okay, great, yay, a nice violin, and I can play that. And I played it all over the place, you know, maybe at competitions or sessions, and I started when I was 10 with Tommy, and playing violins and really getting to know the inner things of each little element of a violin and a bow. And so I would have to hand it back after the 2 months, and the sound had opened up, and you can sell it on for much more then, because the sound is so much more beautiful.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
The wood is all warmed up. So my passion for my own violin line came from that, because Tommy then, when I was 14 years of age, gave me the violin that I have now. It was a violin I was warming up, and he said, you have it.
That's
your violin. And it's more than 320 years old.
Oh my gosh. That is
amazing.
And
that's what, it ignited the passion in the violin line. And I'm so excited. It's in Interstate Music now, and it's going to be launched really, really soon. And my luthier, Jeff Salzman's just so amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, they're all made in Europe and finished off in New York, and each one is handmade. And, you know, bar the very, very, really, really beginner model, obviously we wanted to have that, you know, really, really accessible to people as well.
Right.
So I'm so excited.
So this is, thank you so much for just allowing me to get to know you through this journey. And I know this is a big ask, but as we kind of go out, could you pick up that fiddle that might be somewhere near you and kind of play some music for our outro here?
I have the fiddle here ready for you now.
That's awesome. Mairead, thank you so much for being part of the Interstate of Music podcast. Thank you for being you. And we're going to see you soon, but please play us out with a little something. You don't have to have the hair flying all over the place for this. I know you're sitting down, so, but get in there and play something fun.
All right, let's play a fast reel.
All right.
Okay.
Mairead Nesbitt, thank you. And we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.